Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed
Bonder. Good Saturday afternoon.
See, you're just jumping in, right? You can feel it. It's electric in the air today. Yes, it is.
Welcome to Shout Radio.
I'm not going to shout too much today. Maybe the second half. We'll get through this. Well, what we do on the drift every Saturday is go over the news that I put on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. It's the news you need to know. Yes, there you go. You were late, see?
Sorry.
www.thedailydrift.com. Very easy to find. I put a lot of effort into aggregating those news items that you will not get from the mainstream media, and we will talk about those dirty buggers in the second half hour of the show. But if you're interested in advertising in the Current newspaper, which I'm the chief editor of, call me 734-629-6010 and try and get into the August edition. We've grown our paper over 500% in the last 10 years now, and it's a great place to grow your business as well and keep community news alive. So 734-629-6010, or email me, Gary. Gary, I'm choking. Choking on my coffee. Gary, 734-629-6010, or Gary at thedailydrift.com, or editor at currentonline.com. Easy to get to, right? Okay, so you worked your butt off this week, and, well, you and Joe, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Joe did a lot of the heavy lifting, yeah.
And got us a great interview because I've been screaming for months that the Republicans need to put up
literally screaming
a senatorial candidate to go against Debbie Stabenow, whom I think is a disgrace. She's an Obama agendist. She does nothing for the state of Michigan or our country. And when you said we had Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court, Robert Young Jr., going to come on to the show today and interview with us, I was exceedingly, exceedingly happy. So let's bring him on right now and give him as much time as we can. Chief Justice Bob Young Jr. Bob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Former. I retired from the court a month or so ago, and now I'm just Bob.
Okay, Bob. Well, Bob, that's the first thing for me.
Yeah,
I can call my politicians by their first name because Tim calls in, our congressman, all the time. But
I'm not a politician. I'm a judge. But,
you're
stepping. But I am going to take on Debbie Stabenow.
Good.
For all the reasons you just said. I stood Wednesday. I made my announcement, and I stood at what I consider a kind of a sacred place, my childhood home in Detroit on 14th and McGraw.
That's a vacant lot now, right?
It used to have a home on it, a home where, you know, my family sort of began, and it's just a vacant field now. It's where my dad, who was then a struggling brand new doctor, sort of began his practice, and my family got kicked off. And it represented so much, in my mind, the physical manifestation of the horrible policies that liberals like Debbie Stabenow have been promoting over the years. Their answer is always more government, more spending. They spent $22 trillion, that's with a T, of our taxpayer dollars on a war on poverty. And what we've got for that investment of our money is a poverty rate that's roughly the same as it was in 1967, that devastated communities like the one I stood in on Wednesday, and of course Obama phones. Now that's a horrible legacy.
Yes,
it's we just can't continue that kind of insanity.
You know, it occurred to me when you were saying the war on poverty that a lot of the black community got hit by friendly fire. You know?
Oh yeah. Well, you can look at, it's not just Detroit. You can go over, go through large swaths of Michigan and find the same devastation. These are policies that are killing communities. They're killing the middle class. the middle class in Michigan has gone more than a decade without an appreciable increase in its income as the costs have gone up, the taxes have gone up. The problem with people like Debbie Stabenow, she loves government more than she loves us. The answer for her is always more taxation, more spending, and she doesn't care a whit about whether the money she's spending causes any appreciable positive result. And just to give you another, we borrow every year from China the equivalent of our discretionary spending, federal discretionary spending. That includes our military budget. Every year. That's insane. We've got to stop spending like we're crazy, and we've got to start making some tough choices. Debbie Stabenow is a placeholder in the resistance, and she does nothing for her citizens in Michigan or the nation, and she needs to retire.
Yes, absolutely.
She needs to be retired.
Yeah. Bob, I can't tell you how proud I am of you stepping forward, because it goes without saying you're eminently qualified, legislatively speaking.
Yeah.
You are.
You know the Constitution,
you
right?
You know the Constitution and the law,
I spent
probably.
The last 22 years defending the Constitution as a rule of law judge. The court has a tremendous reputation as one that you can predictably rely on it to follow the law rather than make it. And that's probably why President Trump selected me to be one of his potential nominees for the United States Supreme Court. That's who I am. I am committed to following the law. I mean, we're all, from Debbie's standpoint, we're all just suckers. We follow the rules, but we get none of the benefit for it. Those
right.
that don't follow the rules get the benefit.
You were I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's deeply offensive to me. I'm 66. I've had a wonderful career in law. I don't owe anybody anything. I don't have to do this, but I really feel it in my bone marrow, that somebody has to step up and take her on. And so that's something I can do at this stage of my life.
Yeah, and that is awesome. And I can guarantee you, Bob, that Ed and I and the people at this station will do whatever it takes to help you along. And so my only real question is this. Are you ready to stand up and debate Debbie Stabenow on television? And
Wait a minute. He was a lawyer.
I understand.
Debate.
I'm just saying.
Am I ready? I'm ready.
Okay.
The problem is...
Willing.
I mean,
I think Gary's going for willing.
Oh, yeah.
He has a thing about extra not going after...
Here's my thing, Bob. Last time around... Pete Hoekstra, right, qualified, yes. obviously, to run for Senate, and waged the absolute worst campaign and did not debate Debbie Stabenow, who can be beaten on every issue, and yet he failed to, whatever the holdup was, you have to debate Debbie on television. You have to get out on television.
I will chase her to the ends of the earth.
Excellent.
She will not want to debate me.
Why would she?
She will not want to debate me.
I can see happening.
I actually have ideas. I actually can express myself. She will not want to debate me, but I will show up wherever she is until she agrees to debate me.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Bob, can you hang on? Let's get Joe from Wyandotte, who was very instrumental in getting it. He's got some questions for you. We'll bring him on and see what he's got. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey,
Joe,
yeah,
welcome to the show.
Push the button there, Dare.
Yeah.
No,
I think I took Bob off, Dare. Put Bob back on. We're good? Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. All right, thanks. Yeah, Bob, I hope you'll run a good campaign focusing on your conservativeness and your record of being a constitutionalist. And I have two brief questions. The first you kind of maybe touched on a little. Could you please explain the decided difference in positive nature of you having been a proven constitutionalist justice over someone who has been nothing but a party hack and a career politician like Debbie Stabenow and any potential GOP primary candidate may be?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. First of all, I've been a judge for 22 years defending and upholding the Constitution and our liberties. That's an important background, and it informs my belief that the federal government should stop functioning outside its constitutional limits and within them. I mean, the founders created a limited federal government, but it's anything but a limited government. So that's point one. Point two, you know, Debbie Stabenow has been in the Senate for 18 years, has very little to show for it. Nobody believes that Debbie Stabenow is a leader. Let me tell you what happens when I have authority. So 6 years of my time on the Supreme Court, I was the Chief Justice, and as such, I was responsible for the third branch, the judiciary of Michigan. People have been talking about reforming the judiciary for years, decades, actually. I actually reformed it. This is what I did. I shrunk the size of the judiciary. I reduced its cost. I imposed a performance measure on every judge to create accountability. So now, created transparency because now every citizen in Michigan can look up on their court's internet and see how a court is performing. I also did something else. If you go to Starbucks or any place else, you'll get a card asking you how their service was. And I said, well, that's a good idea. So annually, they're surveying our customers, the court. We have data. We have data on how well judges are performing, how well the public thinks of our services, and we can manage to those things. And what we did was we reduced the cost and improved the service. That's a lesson people need to have in D.C.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. And my second question is, there is a NSO fund PAC that is trying to draft Detroit businessman and Iraq war veteran John James. Do you have any friendly advice? Do you know John in case he's listening and indeed also considering a run? Because he's also not a career politician.
I don't have any advice or counsel for anybody. Anybody who wants to run, this is a free country. I actually welcome a primary. It'll make me a better candidate in opposing Debbie Stabenow. I think what I bring to the table is actual experience in reforming government. I mean, it's one thing to have something no more than your aspiration to do something. It's another thing entirely to have a record. I think the citizens of Michigan will be interested in knowing whether the candidates who will talk a lot, whether they can actually deliver anything, whether they have ever delivered anything. And I think my experience is something that the citizens of Michigan, one, they can look it up, and two, they can determine whether that's the kind of reformer that they want in Washington. I just turned 66. I'm not going to Washington to have a career in D.C. I want to be a disruptor. I want to go and create as much positive change as I possibly can. And I actually know how to do that in government. People have this fantasy that government is exactly the same thing as a business. It isn't. When a CEO says, okay, we're going to block and turn left, everybody says, yes, down the block, turn left. When a governor or president says that, well, in Michigan, if the governor says that, you have 148 legislators who say, I'm not so sure about that. So you have to understand how to work within government to change it. And it doesn't change willingly. Okay. That's the whole point. You can't be a captive of those interests that want things to stay the way they are.
Yeah, I'll say just one last thing, then I'll go. I greatly appreciate your indulgence with me today. I think you provide the best of both worlds, because people are looking for an outsider. They don't want somebody who's a career politician. You've got the experience, but from a good place, from being a justice. You're not a career politician.
I'm not. I'm a judge. And that's why I want to go to Washington and lay down the law.
Well, thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Take care.
Well, Bob, I have a couple questions. This is Ed, and I have
sure.
a couple questions. And one of them is I heard Dr. Larry Arnn speaking last week, and he was talking about a Supreme Court justice that he knew. I suspect it's oh, my goodness.
Clarence?
Thank you.
Okay.
Brain fart real quick there. And he was saying
either that or Scalia, both were very supportive of Hillsdale.
Yes. And I know he knows Justice Clarence. And he was saying that why would a justice want to retire? He has, if he loves the law, and you love the law, and it's a position of influence to do the right thing. So I got to ask, did you retire with this run in mind?
I actually didn't. What prompted me to decide to retire was that I had spent 18 years, I thought that in that 18 years we had established the Michigan Supreme Court as being that unique senior court that actually followed the law. It was a rule of law court. It's the kind of court that Ronald Reagan wanted to have, but was never able to create. And it's one that we're hopeful President Trump will have an opportunity to create a real rule of law majority court in our federal Supreme Court. So that was one. I thought I had achieved some stability in establishing the Supreme Court as a rule of law court. Second, the most fulfilling thing besides protecting our Constitution and liberties I did on the court was those 6 years that I spent as chief reforming the judiciary. Our tradition on the court is that the chiefs are selected by members of the court for two-year terms. I was given the honor by my colleagues of an additional term to make sure the reforms I had started were embedded and permanent. And so at the end of 6 years, I decided it's probably time for me to go out and do something different.
Go out on a high point.
Pardon me?
Go out on a high point.
Yeah.
I had achieved all of my objectives, and I thought, well, you know, it's time for somebody else to pick up the gavel, so to speak, and keep moving forward. And I had no idea. People, as soon as I told people I was leaving, they started whispering in my ear, and I kind of laughed. I said, not a politician. I'm a judge. I've run for elective office, but to promote the rule of law. That's something very different. And you know, I didn't see myself in this way. And but people kept talking to me, and finally, I realized I was just so pissed at the direction of our country, so upset that Debbie Stabenow is the senior member from Michigan in the Senate, and no one, not even her friends, believes that she's a leader.
Yeah, or a thinker.
I just think we ought to do better.
Yeah,
we deserve better.
We do. We absolutely do. So, Bob, we've got Pat from Ann Arbor who wants to ask a constitutional question of you. So hang tight here, and let's add Pat to the group here. Pat, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Judge. Hey, guys. Judge, just real quick, I'm an insurance adjuster. I just want to say you guys were absolutely fantastic on property rights in Michigan. I don't think people realize how well property rights are protected by our Supreme Court. I'm from Ohio. It's nothing, you know, I lived here for several years, and I deal with this every day, and property rights in Michigan are very strong, so I appreciate that. I guess my question is, we spoke about the war on poverty, and I'm all for ending it. It's, you know, reap no benefits whatsoever. I guess my question for you is maybe canceling two other wars, which I think from a conservative position would save us tons of money, which is the war on terrorism and the war on drugs. And I just kind of want to feel that out because those are two very important issues to me, and I just kind of want to see where you'd stand on that.
Well, let me just simply say, as to the war on drugs, I'm a conservative Republican. In fact, I'm a black conservative Republican. Three words that are never spoken in the same sentence.
Oh, good. Now Walter's going to call.
And I'm not. I mean, I have libertarian views, but I'm not a libertarian. And here's my concern. My concern is that Americans are unfailingly generous. The libertarian position on drugs is, hey, we're adults. We get to do what we want. And if we want to use drugs, that's okay. And if we could be consistent in our view, libertarian view, I'd say fine. But we will never allow someone who abuses drugs to die without assisting. I mean, these people also have families. We will always intervene. And so I am concerned about a strictly libertarian view of drugs without reference to the damage that they do, not only to the individuals, but to their families and to the communities. In fact, during my tenure as chief, we created drug courts, which were designed to help individuals who had substance and alcohol abuse problems get treatment rather than incarceration. And it was a win-win. We now, I'm a data person, as you might guess, we now have data showing that the recidivism rates, the rates of people going back and reoffending, are about three times lower for people who go through our drug and alcohol treatment courts than those who serve a sentence where they get no treatment. So there are ways of addressing drug abuse and addiction. It isn't incarceration, and it isn't throwing a lot of money at programs that aren't. My biggest concern, if we start these drug courts, I want to make sure they actually work. So there are things you can do.
Does that answer your question, Pat?
Milton Friedman was, you know, for the legalization of drugs back in the 70s. You had, you know, it's kind of like prior restraint. I mean, for speech, I'm going to ban drugs because X. I don't understand that.
Well, let's have that discussion another day.
I think we can certainly push that one farther. What about the second question there?
Second question was just, I guess, the war on terror. I mean, we spend $800 billion a year on a failed policy that creates more terrorists than it kills. And we're funding the Saudis, who are completely outrageous and abuse human rights, as we said during the Clinton campaign, who they donated to, I guess, for women's rights, right? But, you know, it just needs to be a consistent foreign policy and not supporting dictators and, you know, maybe cut it. We could cut it in half and be perfectly fine. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I'd like the judge's opinion on that.
Excuse me. Can I ride on that question, Pat, and ask a question that I hope to and in a more general sense?
Sure.
Bob, you'd said that you're all for the rule of law. And that mm-hmm. sounds very conservative. And Pat's asking some very libertarian questions. And I was thinking yesterday, as I was thinking about what I might ask you on, you know, when we were talking today, and it occurred to me, you know, the current health care law that's being debated, there's senators right now who are opposed to it because it goes too far. And there's others who say it doesn't go far enough. And I'm wondering what camp you might find yourself in. How much are you willing to? You say you're not a politician, but you have to be a politician when you're in the legislature or the Senate.
Well, you have to have policy views, certainly. And let me just
You have to modify them. You have to do it. You know, you have to give a little to get a little. I imagine, right?
Well, yes. Let me just make the point.
Hold on, Bob. We've got the hard break right here. Can you hang through, and we'll come back after the break, and we'll let you answer that question? Okay. All right, Pat, thanks for the call. And, Judge, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
People
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. The White House waiting for Republican senators to deliver a plan to replace Obamacare. Many lawmakers home for the holiday already.
Now this morning, word came that the Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is rejecting the president's plea to just repeal Obamacare now and then take however long they need to replace it down the line.
Fox's Peter Ducey. Investigators on the scene of the Little Rock, Arkansas nightclub where a shootout happened overnight, leaving at least 25 people hit.
All those who were shot inside the Power Ultra Lounge are expected to be okay, as well as the others who were hurt with other injuries. A dispute among people attending a concert at the club is being blamed for the incident, and police say it is not terror-related. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson says Little Rock's crime problem is getting worse.
Fox Radio's Tanya J. Powers. The club's liquor license now suspended. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Howdy.
And let's take care of a little business. If you're looking to get your car fixed, you don't have to use new parts all the time. You can go to Regal Recycling and Auto Parts, 734-663-0976. They're located in Whitmore Lake on Whitmore Lake Road, 6270 Whitmore Lake Road. They have one goal at Regal Auto, is to be big enough to serve the needs of the customers, yet small enough to care. So call them up, 734-663-0976, and check them out for used car parts. All right, on the phone with us, we've got former Chief Justice Bob Young, who is now running for Michigan's U.S. Senate seat. Bob, you there?
I am.
Okay,
oh,
so
let me address the question about Obamacare. I think this is a classic example how liberals like Debbie Stabenow bribe constituencies by throwing money at them.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was a scheme, a step that the Dems, with people just like Debbie Stabenow, trying to make the final step toward single-payer health care so that we have the VA for all of us. Imagine that.
Yes.
So they couldn't quite get there, this time. So what they did is they took one-sixth of our economy. They broke the system of insurance that 80% of us were covered under employer health care, and lied to us all along the way about what Obamacare was going to do. They were just lies.
You mean I couldn't keep my doctor?
From me? Oh, yeah, you can keep your doctor. the costs are going to go down. Well, it's a fraud. It's an absolute fraud. And Debbie Stabenow ought to have the courage and honesty to acknowledge they lied to us. Now, you ask me what is my position. My position is that any health care, and this is not health care, by the way. This is how we pay for health care. This is about insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Any insurance plan, these are my principles, ought to reflect a market-based approach. And it ought to encourage people to actually take care of their health. There are things that we should be encouraging, like at least having an annual physical. You've got diabetes, getting A1C tests, those sorts of. That's actually medical. Paying for it is a different matter. I would like to see people be able to use some of their taxpayer dollars for medical accounts, so that most of us who have health insurance never ask the doctor what anything costs. I mean, I'd like to have people be conscious of the medical purchase, and anything that remote calc, you don't, is likely to increase the cost. So I'm thinking in terms of principle and things that promote those free market principles. For why aren't insurance companies allowed to compete across state lines? That's crazy. Competition reduces, monopolies increase. We all know this stuff, but Obamacare was never really intended to address the real issues of providing insurance policies for those that didn't have them. We could have provided everybody who was eligible for wanted a policy of insurance to have one for years for a fraction of what Obamacare did. But that wasn't the goal, really, to insure the poor uninsured. That was the lie, the cover that the Dems offered for it.
Okay, Bob, that, and I appreciate everything you said and agree with everything you said. What my question was more along the lines of was, right now there's a bill in the Senate, there's an argument in the Senate, and there's two different camps in the GOP, and one of them is standing against, or if you want to call it Trump care, because it's unconstitutional or it's an overreach of the federal government. And the other is,
we
want to get votes.
That the federal government had the authority to make me buy a product.
Right. Okay. So if you were senator today, would you be supporting the passage of this law as McConnell's trying to get it through the Senate right now because it's expedient?
I haven't read. All I'm saying to you is, and I'm not here to critique things that I haven't read or fully appreciate. All I can tell you is I've outlined the principles that would animate how I approached it. Now, you said, well, you have to compromise. Well, in my life, the only time I got to be pure Bob Young is when I was writing a dissent. If I was writing a majority, I had to blend my voice with those of my colleagues. But I always was writing with a commitment to the rule of law. So I don't see compromise, so long as you're not compromising your principles, as an evil. But I do think compromise for the sake of compromise is why we have a bloated federal government where nobody can tackle the tough problems. We are spending more money than we have, and we can't keep doing that. We have to start making tough choices about priorities, just like we do in our private lives. We need to take Debbie Stabenow's credit card away from her and send her home.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Bob, I appreciate you calling into the show today, and I'm giving you the open invitation, and Ed and I would love if you ever have the ability to come in and sit for the hour with us and discuss, because senatorial position, we talk national politics every Saturday. We would love to have you come in or call in, whatever's convenient for you. Any Saturday you have an open invitation here at the Drift to come in and speak your piece.
You'll see me again.
Great. Thank you so much, Bob.
Have a great day. Have a great day.
Yes. And we're proud for you, and we're pulling for you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless all of us.
Great. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I liked what I heard.
I did, too.
I mean, where do I send the money? He never said where to send the money.
Oh, you know what? Derek, can you look up, see if he's got a website?
He does. I've been there.
Yeah, let's get the website, and we'll put it out there for him. We'll get Bob back on again, and we finally got somebody who's qualified and good enough to stand up to Debbie Stabenow, so I'm real happy. Let's take a call from Leslie in Grand Rapids. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gary. Happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you, Leslie. I appreciate it.
Well, I had a couple of comments, I guess. We had talked a little bit about mainstream media and the constant lies coming from them and really just the double standards. And then you have, James O'Keefe and Project Veritas exposing CNN this week with the fake news Russia story, and then also, Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough and all of them feigning virtue, which is kind of comedic, actually, over the president's tweet.
Right. So let's do this, Leslie. I'm going to play a track, and I want you to hang on, and we'll get your comments after. Derek, you got track one ready? Okay, let's play. So this is the O'Keefe Group nailing the latest one, Jimmy Carr.
Mm-hmm.
Carr doesn't have a very high opinion of CNN's audience either.
Yeah. Would it be fair to question the... I don't want to be rude here. Be careful how I put it. You're at least some percentage Irish Scottish. Would it be fair to question the intellect of the American voter?
Oh, no, they're stupid as shit. I need to be answered.
His harsh words didn't stop there.
Now, and of course, the thing that pisses the White House also, because we actually had that awful woman, Kellyanne Conway, the blonde.
Kellyanne
Conway.
What's she look like? Is she the one with the...
She looks like Sharon Hipper's shovel. Said she looks like Sharon Hipper's shovel.
So here's a guy, they're bashing Trump for talking about Mika getting a facelift, and here's a CNN producer talking about Kellyanne Conway looking like she got hit in the face with a shovel.
Yeah.
The hypocrisy is just absolutely
Democratic.
Huge.
Definitely Democratic.
It's definitely Democratic. So it's crazy. And Leslie, you're a big tweeter, right? So you're on tweeting all the time. You're very active, and... It just boggles my mind at the stupidity, and that the press thinks it's perfectly okay. They do. They think we are stupid.
Yeah.
Well, we're not. Yeah. We voted for Trump for a reason, and that's why he's president today, because we've seen that duplicitousness from the media. It's insane.
Exactly. Well, exactly. But it's like I said, the double standards. I mean, they can do and say whatever they want. There's zero accountability, and you can see that all over with the Democratic Party, period, all over across the board. They can do and say whatever they want, and the minute you start to fight back, you're the bad guy. They have this ability to turn everything that they do and make it about you,
right,
which is hilarious.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, Leslie, thank you so much for calling in. And hopefully you'll call in again and keep up the good tweets, because we appreciate what you do. It really makes a difference when people get out and spread the word on the Twitter, in the Twitterverse. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Thanks for
Leslie.
Hey, Leslie.
All right, take care.
All right. Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm ready to scream right now after that, right? And Derek, let's go on, because let's talk about James O'Keefe, right? James O'Keefe has absolutely... hit it out of the ballpark once
again.
And these morons keep saying things like, oh, you're taking it out of context, you're editing that. No, we're not editing any of that. This is right out of the mouths of the CNN producers and everybody else that this is happening with. So, Derek, we've got track two, which is Van Jones, who is always the anti-Trumper. Let's see what he has to say about the Russian collusion story that they've been beating for a year now.
Carr says it's ratings. And CNN host and political commentator Van Jones says the Russia story is fake news.
The Russia thing is just a big nothing burger.
Really?
A big nothing burger. Right out of the mouth of Van Jones. Okay? So it's an incredibly...
That's the only time you'll hear him say it on air, by the way.
Yeah, he won't say it when he knows he's being filmed, right? Who do we got on line one? Derek's not... He's still typing that in.
Bob Young from Michigan.com.
Okay, so for those of you who may have just tuned in, we have a former Chief Justice for the Michigan Supreme Court. Bob Young is now running for U.S. Senate for the state of Michigan against Debbie Stabenow. And you can go to his website, Bob Young, Y-O-U-N-G, for Michigan.com. Bob Young for Michigan.com. And make a generous donation. And give him any support. If he's looking for volunteers, please do that. And if any of you know other media outlets, spread the word that Bob would like to get a little airtime and get the message out there. Because here's a common sense conservative with constitutional background to the nines, right? This guy is the real deal. And this is finally we have a good, I hope the GOP backs him with a lot of money. I hope the rest of the media gives him a fair shot. And certainly I know we'll do everything we can in our meeting.
And if you missed the interview earlier, you can get it on the podcast later.
Yeah, the podcast will be out. And thank you for reminding me. You can go to talkamericaradio.us Saturday and Sunday evenings and catch this show on podcast there as well. Let's take a call from Walter on line one. Walter, welcome to the show.
Hey, just as you probably predicted, you mentioned my name earlier. By the way, thanks for making me famous again.
My friend.
Hey, my God. Hey, I was trying. I had called maybe a little bit too late to ask Bob Young a question. I heard him actually on the other station a few times, and I've always liked him. But I was going to ask him, what do you think about backstabbing John Roberts? That's the reason we in a mess we in today with this national health care, Obama never did care crap.
Yeah, well, we're going to get him on again, Walter. I'm
Justice Roberts?
No. We're going to get Justice Bob Young down here into this. Hopefully get him to sit in the station with us because we were talking during the break. You know what? We do national stuff. This is a national seat. Let's get him in here, and he can shoot the breeze with us. And I think really that's the best way to find out where somebody's at on the different issues when you just get into the conversation like we do on this show regularly with our callers and guests. So we're going to get him on again, Walter, and you'll have that opportunity. So anything else you got?
Yeah, that national health care would have been done and gone and doomed, damned, and done for if it hadn't been for backstabbing John Roberts, who we thought was on our side.
Who also didn't choose to hear the gun law issue, the shall carry issue recently, the California. It didn't come before the Supreme Court because he was not one of the justices that would vote for it to be heard.
Right.
I wouldn't trust him from here to end of my nose, man. That's how much I think about him. But on the Trump's tweets, these first-class devils, man, and the phonycrats, hypocrites, and all the rest of the crats they are, fakercrats, stinkercrats, they are still hoping for a last-minute Hail Mary to get Donald Trump out of office,
They are.
You guys know, and I know that's what it's all
that
about.
Is what they're doing, Walter.
It's going to happen, man.
The coup.
Yeah, it's the soft coup. It's the attempt to demonize and hit him with allegation and innuendo until they make him ineffective.
Look at the lights that switchboard.
Walter, I'm going to let you go because we've got a switchboard that's just blowing up here.
See you, Walter.
Take care. We'll see you. Let's take a call from Mike Langford, host of Guys and Trucks, wants to talk about Van Jones. Go ahead, Mike. How are you doing?
Guys with Trucks and Van Jones. Where are we going with this?
Mike, are you there? Mike? All right, we lost Mike. He'll have to call back. Did I put him on hold? I don't know what I did there. Let's take a call from Joanne in Southern Ohio. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. If Judge Bob Young gets in the Senate representing Michigan, there is hope for Michigan because Justin Amash really, I don't know what his problem is.
Yeah, well, you know, as the only Republican who voted against Kate's Law and the Sanctuary Cities bill that just recently passed. And from what I've seen, and I haven't been able to dig deep into this yet, is as he was trying to say there's some anti-constitutional...
Yeah, it's pure constitutionalism, yeah. Which is what I was trying to get with Justice Young about.
But here's the... Not having read the bill, so I'm speaking out of turn, maybe, and somebody can certainly correct me if I am wrong. I'll take acknowledgement of that. But isn't the Constitution only for citizens? Not for illegal aliens?
Yeah, but
exactly.
This is supposed to be affecting local municipalities, so does it become overreach? You know, that's where he's coming from. I don't know exactly, and I don't agree. But
I think this guy, because this guy has been an anti-Trumper, an anti-whatever for as long. I am really disappointed. I thought Justin Amash was a good guy a couple years ago, and he's really taken a turn to the dark side. And I hope to God in West Michigan they primary this guy out this next time around.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Take care, Joanne. Okay, and now we got Mike back. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, sorry about that, guys. How you doing? Awesome show today.
Wow, thank you so much. What do you got for us, man?
Hey, look, the one thing that I'm not hearing about this whole Van Jones thing, if you set aside all of the just lies and contempt that CNN and all their ilk have,
you'd have nothing.
You know, the average American, think about the way this guy talks. It's like the modern-day Valley Girl. Nothing burger? What on earth is that? You know, the guy, there's no intellect coming out here. A nothing burger? Can you see yourself saying that in a sentence if you weren't quoting Van Jones?
Right. Well, it's
absolutely ridiculous.
We know what the nothing burgers at CNN have all turned into. Crap sandwiches. That's what they've turned into. Yeah.
Well, you said if
exactly. I'm not taking a bite this time.
You said if you get rid of all of that nonsense, well, you'd have nothing then. You'd have absolutely no CNN. It'd be dead air.
It would be the network of nothing burger.
Mike,
like the Wish sandwich from the Blues Brothers, man.
Yes. Mike, go ahead and plug your show. Let the people know what time you're on and what you're going to be talking about.
Well, hey, I am, if you just heard, I'm Mike Lankford. My show is Guys in Trucks. It's a home improvement show like no other. Sundays on Wham at 1 p.m.
Great, and it's a good show, so make sure you tune in Sundays, 1 o'clock. And
give me a call.
Yes, and call into the show, because if you got questions, and you do construction, you do anything that's man stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, the whole gambit.
Yeah, Guys in Trucks. All right, Guys in Trucks with Mike Lankford tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Call into the station. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
the
call.
Guys.
All right, take care. And that is a good show.
Yeah.
I've heard it. I like listening. And Mike's a good guy, so I would plug his business and everything else right now, but I don't have any of that in front of me, and I'm just not that good, right?
Rapid Roofing.
Oh, Rapid Roofing. See, you know.
Hey, the ads work, man. Rapid Roofing. The ads work, Mike.
Yeah, it's in your head, isn't it? Yeah, so, well, today is my birthday.
Happy birthday. Yes. I bought you a coffee. That's right.
You bought me a coffee, so there you go. That's my birthday present. So I was debating last week not coming into the show, and then it occurred to me, I'm like, I've never done a birthday show, right? So I just said thank you, happy birthday through the glass, so there we go. But I wanted to come in and do this because I think, how does it work? Like every 7 years you go back to the same date or whatever. I can't remember.
Are you talking about Jubilee?
No. Anyways, it'll be a long time before my birthday ever rolls around.
On a Saturday again. Saturday. Except unless leap year hits. That'll screw you up.
Dude, you're putting too many variables in the algebraic equation.
There's a guy at church named Pat. He would tell you when your birthday is on whatever date for the next 20 years in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Okay, well, we got time.
I'll ask him tomorrow for you.
So talking about CNN and MSNBC and the crazy left, this is how absolutely insane they are. Did you hear Chris Matthews?
Yes.
Okay, so Chris Matthews talking about, and again, this is the ultimate in fake news. They're saying Rex Tillerson is going off the rails. He's super angry. He's yelling and screaming. Listen to me. Can you ever imagine Rex Tillerson being off the rails, crazy mad? No, come on.
Nope.
The consummate professional. So here we go again with more fake news from Chris Matthews. Derek, you got track three ready? All right, listen to the idiot Chris Matthews.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson explodes at a White House meeting for undermining him. They say the people around the president, the personnel people, are screwing him. It's a far cry from that love feast we watched a few weeks ago, which was right out of Mengistu's government in Ethiopia, with all those people bowing to the president. Now, Ashley, I'm allowed to have opinions on this show, and one of my opinions was that nepotism is a bad thing in government. It just is. You put Uday and Kusei in your government, and you're going to have a problem with everybody else in the government, because nobody can fight with them. Nobody can challenge them. In the end, the son of son-in-law is always right because he always can go to his father-in-law or his wife and say, they were mean to me. The power seems to have gone to the son-in-law. This is the Romanovs. Just a thought. The Romanovs, is it? And then you find out in all these investigations that Jared was opening up a tunnel to Moscow so that he wouldn't have to deal with the State Department. So the son-in-law, you know, one good thing Mussolini did was execute his son-in-law. I mean, I'm sorry, Cassiano. I know that was an extreme measure, but this is a strange situation.
Okay, so would that be anything like asking your wife to head up health care? You know, yeah. I mean,
okay, yes.
Really, Hillary, yeah. Hillary
and
care?
And she was going to have Bill fix the economy,
oh,
right?
Yeah. You get a twofer if you re-elect Bill. I mean, listen, what the heck, man?
I got to say, I'm not a Jared Kushner fan.
Nope.
So far, from what I've seen and what I know, right?
Had higher hopes for him.
And
I had
I'm
higher hopes.
Not an Ivanka Trump fan, other than the fact that she's a very pretty lady and obviously seems to be very classy and nice, but she's a tad too liberal. I think they both are for me. But we voted. Let's face the fact. The Democrats forget this fact all the time. The most liberal of all the Republican candidates was Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What would you be doing to a guy like Ted
liberal
Cruz?
For many years. Donated to liberals for many years. Millions of dollars to the Hillary for Senate campaign. I mean, come on.
They've turned him into the alt-right devil. Compared to the other 16, 15 candidates we had in the Republican bench, Donald Trump was the most liberal. Now, he was very conservative on the issues that we, the American people, cared about. And that's why he got elected, for crying out loud. What is happening at CNN, MSNBC, and the Democratic Party that they are demonizing the most liberal of Republican candidates that the American people legitimately elected?
Now, I hate to say this because we're demonizing Chris Matthews right now, but you remember Chris Matthews is the very same guy who, after Comey's testimony, said, well, I guess that shoots the whole collusion deal, which, you know, is another way of saying nothing burger, right?
And then he turns around and calls Ivanka and Jared.
Exactly. Well, he's got to find something to rev up ratings, because that's what it's all about. That's what the whole collusion thing was. That's what the CNN executives said. That's what Van Jones was saying. It was all about ratings for CNN. They were willing to flush the toilet down the country so that they got ratings.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. And you can go to thedailydrift.com. I've got those links on there. You'll be able to catch the Project Veritas videos of Van Jones, of Jimmy Carr, and there was the first one earlier in the week.
Bohinichek or something.
Bana, whatever
something,
his name is.
From CNN.
Yeah, and so that's it has really unraveled CNN because, you know, when James O'Keefe calls them the American Pravda, it doesn't get any more spot on than that. It really doesn't. This is fake news that is doing whatever it can.
What's that music?
It's the end of the hour. And I'm going to apologize. We had Congressman Tim Walberg was calling in today, and I had no idea. I kind of forgot that it was the first Saturday, but I never got the warning that it was the first. Anyways, normally we'll do that. So next week we'll have Congressman Tim Walberg on the show. Until then, go to thedailydrift.com. It's the news.
You need to know.
You need to know. We'll see you next week.